Hello. We have a very distinguished guest today, Ambassador Susmita Ganguly Thomas. Ambassador Susmita Ganguly Thomas joined the Indian Foreign Service in 1976 at a very young age, and she's one of the youngest senior bureaucrats in India. As a Foreign Service professional, she had served in countries like Spain, Japan, and Washington, D.C. from 1990 to 1993 as a political counselor. She has also served the Indian ambassador of the Ivory Coast, Sierra Leone, Guinea, Liberia, Chile, and now in Turkey. She has been awarded an honorary doctoral degree from the University of Santo Tomas in San Diego for her excellent work in Chile. She has also been recognized as one of the top project management women experts by the Project Management Institute in the U.S. She is currently serving as the Indian ambassador to Turkey. So, dear ambassador,
good morning. Thank you.
We are very much pleased and honored to have you in the TV channel A9. And we broadcast through satellite. Millions of people are watching. And we give the, we are pleased to give a message of coexistence of all faiths altogether and nations all around the world. We are broadcasting via the satellite. And in this respect, we would like to learn more about yourself, your activities, and your ideals for a world harmony and brotherhood.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me here. I'm really grateful to A9 for giving me this opportunity, and I wish them all the very best in their future efforts as well. I think it's very laudable that you should be trying to bring people of all faiths together in harmony, because I think that is one of the primary requirements of the world at this point of time. I myself come from a country where, as you know, almost all faiths live together and have lived together in great harmony for a long period of time. I am myself a Hindu by birth, my husband is a Christian, and our children are, well, any religion they choose to take, we have never enforced any particular religion on them. And I think that is probably the greatness of my country, that it has so much of tolerance and so much of acceptance of every kind of life, creed, religion, that it makes for a very peaceful and harmonious existence. So in that sense, I am very happy to be here and to also share with you the message of living together in fellow feeling with each other's views, ideas, faiths, whatever, creeds, whatever you want to call it. And I feel that is a very, very good thing that you are doing in promoting this particular ideal.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and honor to have you. So I would like to know first, given information about your assignment in Turkey and your opinion about the Turkish nation, Turkish culture, Turkish people.
Do you think I can say anything against them? I would be kicked out of here. But no, jokes apart, I'm enjoying myself in Turkey. I am the Indian ambassador here. And it was an assignment which was an honor for me to choose. I requested my government that I should be sent here to serve. And I have enjoyed it from day one. Not only because Turkey and India relations are at the right place and at the right time, and it's on an upswing, but also because it's a very fascinating country, both historically and at this point of time itself. What interested me also was the very long history of interaction that we had with Turkey, India had with Turkey, even prior to India being India. I think as far back as the 2nd century AD and BC, we've had texts which actually talk of interaction between this part of the world and India. Definitely up to 1481, 1482, the Ottoman sultans were in great touch with the Mughal emperors in India. Subsequently thereof, again, in the 1912s, when you were involved with the Balkan War, India sent a medical mission under the name of one of our freedom fighters, Dr. Emir Ansari, whose grandson is today our vice president, or great-grandson, I beg your pardon. And one of his co-patriots stayed back and became an emissary for the father of your nation, Kemal Ataturk, to go to Kabul. Again, in the 1920s, when you were fighting for your freedom, India, even though it was a colonial part at that time, raised 106,400 British pounds sterling and sent it here for the emergency needs of the Turkish army,
yes,
for the rebuilding of Izmir,
yes,
and for the setting of the Ish Bank, which today is your largest bank in Turkey. So we've always had a very close affinity, a very close, feeling of fellow feeling for Turkey. And that's why it was a country I was proud to serve in, and I've always enjoyed being here. Insofar as what my work entails, really, it's very difficult to define the work of an ambassador. It's like saying it's a jack of all trades. Literally, you have to do everything to build the relationship, whether it is social, cultural, economic, political, you name it. I mean, there's no aspect you can say, well, this is not my job. So that is what makes it very fascinating, because you have the right to decide the kind of policy with which you will bring the two countries closer together. And that is also what makes it very interesting, because you do have a free hand. And when you see the success happening, it really invigorates you. It gives you such a feeling of job satisfaction that it's very difficult to define what could be better.
Now, what can be done to strengthen the relation between India and Turkey?
I think India and Turkey are already moving in the right direction. We've always had very, very traditional, as I said, and close relations with each other. Both of us are historically secular democracies. Both of us, ever since our inception, have tried to improve the lots of our people. And economically, at this point of time, both India and Turkey are doing very well. We've worked well together in the G20. We work well together in the political forums and international forums all over the world. And I feel that right now, India and Turkey should continue to work together. They have very important roles in bringing about peace and stability in their own regions, in their respective areas of influence, and not only that, in the whole world, because they can show that peace and development, when it happens inside a country, is probably one of the most, one of the strongest arguments for that country to keep developing and to move ahead in the path of peace. So I think at this point of time, what we need to do is to continue doing what we are doing, to work even closer together in fellow feeling, in cooperation, and to see how best we can improve our trade and commercial relations, because that is the strongest argument for being friends, for being cooperative, and for being stable and steady influences on the world.
Yes. Do you think Turkey could be a model for the Middle Eastern countries, because there's better democracy, better freedom of thought in Turkey, laicism in Turkey, and modernity at the same time? So do you think Turkey could be a model for Middle Eastern countries?
Certainly. Why not? Because any country which prides itself on its liberalness, on its acceptance of all faiths, on being secular, is already on the way to being a role model for the rest of the world. Because that is today's need. And I definitely feel that Turkey would be able to serve as a model for a lot of countries, why just the Middle East, where the lack of liberalism is a very important factor. So there, they can take a leaf out of Turkey's book and see that, yes, being liberal, being acceptance, being bringing about inclusive growth for their own people is going to be a very strong argument for growing, and that is what Turkey can provide them.
Yes. Peace is the most important factor and will guide a nation to prosperity, welfare, happiness, and progress. In such a peaceful environment, everyone would have respect, trust, love, compassion, and understanding for one and each other people. It would remove all reasons of conflict, definitely, and there would be no expenditure of arms and weaponry. If peace were to prevail all around the world, how would the world change, and what would peace bring to individuals?
Well, I must say that this is a very beautiful concept, which I think probably is very well personified in the world, in the word utopia. That would be ideal if we could have a thing like that. Unfortunately, there is still a lot of slip between the cup and the lip. There are still lots of countries which still believe that warmongering, or for that matter, selling of weaponry and other armaments, etc., is going to keep their economy alive. If you were to ever achieve an ideal where this does not happen, where there is peace all around, certainly humankind could live together in peace, in prosperity, in development. There would be no wars for water or land or food. And I think there would be great, it would be a great era for the whole world. As I said, the pitfalls that I see are still people who do not necessarily subscribe entirely to this concept of utopia.
Yeah, there is a problem with the radicalist people, extremist people, and that is a great danger to the world.
Absolutely.
Peace, actually.
Yeah.
But not to have peace is very abnormal, actually. In the 20th century, the bloodiest century of the entire human history,
absolutely.
But we want peace right now, entire world. Isn't it much better to have no wars, no bloodshed, no weapons, everybody is happy? So what could be done to eradicate radicalism and bigotry, especially bigotry, and what could be done?
I think you're right that this century has been one of the bloodiest centuries in the world, when everybody recognizes the need to have peace and to grow together. I think what you're doing is absolutely right, to send out this message that every faith, every religion, every creed, every group, every ethnicity can live together and grow in harmony, and that it would be beneficial for all countries and all people to do that, and to stop their wars, to stop having this feeling of divisiveness. I think what needs to be done is more recognition for the fact that social unity is, and peace and development are really going to flow from the fact that there is an acceptance of each other as human beings, there is fellow feeling for each other, there is compassion, a recognition that what hurts you is also going to hurt the other person. Yes. They're no different from you, they have the same blood and the same flesh. So we should behave in the way where we should do what to others what they, we want them to do to us. And I think that is a creed, that is one particular tenet which has been taught in almost every faith, that you must behave well to your neighbors. And the implication thereby being not just immediate neighbors, but for everybody in the world. And I think that is the requirement today of understanding each other, of having fellow feeling, of having faith and allowing each individual to grow in their own faith, in their own way, without trying to impose our ways or our means on the others, in a feeling of liberalness and spirit of coexistence.
Yeah, and you're a good example of that because your husband is a Christian.
That's right.
You're a Hindu, and then you have obviously have respect and tolerance each other.
Absolutely. He comes to all our temples and our religious functions. In fact, we had a wedding three times over because we were married first in the Hindu way, then we were married in the Christian way, and lastly, to make it all right, we were married under civil law to make sure that each of us could retain our religions and still be married to each other, you know, so that there was no conflict of the religious laws. So indeed, we've had a very cooperative and a very sharing life. He supported me all through in my career, which has not been easy career. We were moving all the time. And I have worked with him to help him in his career, which is in finance and in business. We have two children. And as I said, they call themselves Krindu, which is a new word, which means a combination of Christian and Hindu. Because it's a religion which doesn't exist, but then their faiths and their beliefs are their own. Whoever they want to believe in, whatever tenets they want to believe in, whichever of the two religions they want to take something out of, we have always encouraged them. And in that sense, yes, to some extent I symbolize in myself, in my family, this combination, this ability to live together in peace and harmony with two different religions. I have to say I can't take the credit alone. It takes two to clap, and a lot of the credit goes to my husband and his family as well.
Actually, in the essence of Islam, there is real democracy, because in one verse, Allah says in the Quran, I seek refuge in Allah from Maker of Satan, there is no compulsion in religion. That means you cannot force anybody to believe in anything.
That's right.
Everybody have the freedom of thought, freedom of expression, freedom of worship, according to Islam.
I agree. And it's not just according to Islam. According to Hinduism, which, as you know, is a very old religion, so there's no way, a question of compulsion. You choose the way you want to go and follow the tenets you want to do. The ultimate objective being that you live in peace, harmony, fellow feeling with your neighbors, with your compatriots, with other people who may not be sharing the same ideas with you, but who also want to get to the same objective of living peacefully with you or having a good life.
Yeah. The compulsion that we see in some countries, in the Middle East and that kind of countries, it's against the Quran actually. It's not a model of Islam. They don't represent Islam. That is because of the radicalism and bigotry, what's happening. So education is very important.
Education is very important over there. I have to admit that I have not had the privilege of going too strongly into the Quran, so I am not competent to comment exactly on any issues that are there in the Quran or otherwise. But definitely I think education is very important, and that by that I don't necessarily mean religious education. I mean education as a secular education, an education which emphasizes the need for fellow feeling, for living together in peace, and which emphasizes the advantages that can flow from development, from harmony, from growing together, from sharing with each other, whether it be knowledge, whether it be technology, whether it be any other aspect. That kind of education is very important to bring about this feeling of cohesion among the world, to bring about a feeling that all of us are adherents of this one planet, and there's only this one planet that we have to inherit and to pass on. So we must try to make the best of it, to try and make it as good and as habitable for not only us but for future generations as well. And that we can do best by not having wars.
Definitely agree with you. Media plays a great role in making communities know one another and establishing friendly, loving and brotherly relations. We as NITV find it very important to come close to the Indian community, to interact with them culturally and share ideas for the benefit of our people. What would be your recommendation for us to use media for establishing strong ties with your community, with the Indian community?
You know, you're right. Media plays a very important role. And as we have seen in recent times, the kind of projections media does and the kind of slant it gives to a news can make all the difference in how that country perceives that news. So I think the best thing that A9 TV or any other news media could do is to really make sure that the news that they give is not inflammatory. And if it is, to give it in such a way that the inflammatory part of it, that's a part that will raise hatred, is not really the focus. What should be the focus is to say, this is something which has occurred, which is not necessarily something supported by the whole world, and we must do our best, our little role, to see how best we can tide this over. This is not something everybody else wants. This is not something the whole world has joined hands against us or against any particular creed. And that is very important, because from there, A9 TV and others like you who believe in this faith of this tenet of fellow feeling, of compassion, of humankind together, can send the message that, look, we have to all live together and die together on this earth. There's nowhere else we can go from here. And I think one of the best ways to do that also is to learn about each other's culture. There should be a lot of people-to-people interaction. And to that extent, we have also been working very hard to try and bring to Turkey, amongst other countries, the kind of films which reflect social nuances in India, the kind of society that exists today or that existed a couple of years earlier, which may be some points which are not good, but still there's a recognition that those points had to be changed or have been changed. So they are still being reflected and they're still being portrayed. So people-to-people contacts through education, through sharing of experiences, exchanges of technology is very, very important. And I think that is what any newsworthy media channel should focus on, to bring about an impression of harmony, cooperation, sharing, growing together.
Definitely. I mean, for example, we want Turkey to be rich, justice in Turkey, security, but we have the same wishes for India also. If we want India to be rich, there should be peace and harmony and security and justice, wealth, also progress in science, technology and arts. And we also want a unity between two cultures, maybe no passports, so everybody can travel, increase the export, import, everything.
You know, I entirely agree with you, because basically that is the objective towards which we should all work, that it is one world, that we really have no boundaries and no borders, and we don't have, you know, these confines of space where we say, oh, this is our territory and that is your territory. Because we have to understand that that is the only way, when everybody has what they need, they have their food, shelter, their clothing, their wish to live happily, that is the only way the world will be at peace. If there is even the slightest amount of tension anywhere in the world, you will see it comes either from a very strong, biased view of religion, or it comes from the needs of the people, economic distress, because they are so distressed they want to do better, or they want to have certain aspirations fulfilled, social aspirations, whether it be that the women want to be part of a full-fledged part of the society, or other such aspects which have sort of been the creative force in many of these uprisings that we have seen in recent times. So I think the recognition that all countries really have to work for peace, justice, yeah, development, and work for it through education, through an acceptance of each other, and tolerance for each other, that is the only way to go, and we will ultimately achieve a world where we are without borders.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I know this is going to happen very soon. We'll see that.
Yeah.
And we learn from the books of all faiths, and also from historical documents that belong to ancient civilizations, that there is a period of tribulation in the end of end times, which will follow the redemption of a golden age. And I think this golden age is coming. According to the signs in the heavens and earth, the wars, conflicts, bloodshed, degeneration, economic crisis, we understand that this is the end times, the era we're living in right now, described in the scripture. Do you also have this knowledge that we are very close to the age of bliss? And how do you think nations could work together in order to make this world achieve these beauties in terms of morality, culture, architecture, technology, science and arts?
You know, all I can say is I wish you good luck, because you have obviously the faith that you are talking about. For us, we come from a country which is secular. So we allow everybody to believe the way it is, whether this is the end of the world because of faith, or whether it is the end of the world because we are using nuclear weapons. And I certainly feel that there is no need to be despondent, that even though humankind is fairly close to a very turbulent era, there is still time and hope. If we, like if you, others like you, send out this message of cooperation, of peace, of fellow feeling, there will come a time when all this will be over and need not necessarily become Armageddon. It will be a time which was turbulent, but which we have overcome by being together, mm-hmm. by working together through peace and development.
Yeah. What we believe is actually the bloody part is over. The golden ages has come in, the progress in science, technology, and arts. In fact, we had a very bad experience in the 20th century. Nobody wants this anymore. There's conflicts, as you said, in the Middle East, in Syria, in every part of the world.
That's right.
Not only in the Middle East, but every same corner of the world. So why not to get over with that? This can only be done training.
I absolutely agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. Because whether it's a matter of faith that the golden age is coming, or whether it's a matter of development statistics, in either case, I think definitely the world should live up to its potential, and there is plenty of potential in almost every country, so long as we get over these divisive wars.
Thank you very much.
Not at all.
It's a pleasure and honor. Can we have your last messages for Turkish public? And
well, good luck. Good luck. You have a good Eid holiday coming up, and I want all the people to have a good, long life, a happy life, a well-developed and well-formed social structure in hierarchy, and for Turkey to continue giving the message of peace, solidarity, togetherness with the whole world without any divisions or borders based on religion and other issues which can bring divisions among people. So good luck, and I have every good wish for not only A9 but for all the people of Turkey, for all your viewers. I wish them all a very happy Eid and a very happy National Day for Turkey.
Inshallah, and we have the same wishes for India, entire India, not only India, Asia, all of the world. Inshallah, we will happily live together, and with no passports, yes. Unity, progress in science, technology, and arts, and freedom of thought, democracy, all
Thank
over
you.
The world.
That shall definitely be our ultimate endeavor. We shall all work for that, strive for that, and I hope that certainly sometime in the future, that dream of ours comes true. That would be so beautiful for the world.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was an honor to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My pleasure entirely.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.